Welcome back to Philadelphia.
Thank you. So happy to be back.
It is like a homecoming for you in many ways, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, I was born in Philadelphia and I'm still living here in the Main Line, so this is very much home for me. And I grew up with this orchestra. This is my hometown orchestra, so lots of great memories, and it's always such a treat to be performing with them.
That's really wonderful. Well, you started so early. You were playing the violin. You got a violin for your fourth birthday, which was 1/16th size?
Yes. Yes.
That seems as if it would be very small.
It's a tiny little violin, and 1/16th size is essentially, it's like a Christmas tree ornament. You know, it's a tiny little decoration, really, more than an actual instrument. And, you know, it made some sort of sound, you know. Now I'm using a full-size Guarneri del Gesù.
And so the Dvorak, yes, that we are going to hear today, you've played it many, many times. I understand you played it first when you were about 8.
Yes.
You've said that you are very careful about what you program. You play only things that you love. So tell us what you love about this violin concerto.
The Dvorak concerto is an absolute jewel. I love this concerto so much because it's not just really beautiful and melodic and has these incredible Czechoslovakian, you know, folksy themes, but it also has a lot of technical aspects. And I mean, when it comes to technical challenges, I mean, scales, arpeggios, triple stops, quadruple stops, like he threw everything and the kitchen sink into this piece. And it really is an astonishing, astonishing concerto. And if for some reason, it's not done as often as, you know, I would hope that it would be programmed, but it's forever been one of my absolute favorite concertos out there. And so it's really wonderful to bring back an old favorite that isn't played as often. And, you know, I always feel that when you put yourself out there on stage and you're sharing a part of yourself and you're putting not just your fingers and your soul and your heart out there, you really want to portray a composer that you absolutely love. Like you have to believe in the composer and love the composer and the work so much that it becomes a part of you. And if I think that if that connection and that instant love isn't there, then I think the audience definitely feels that. And, you know, you don't ever want to go on stage with a piece that you're not 100% in love with.
How does it change each time you perform it? You've performed it with the Philadelphia Orchestra, you recorded it with the London Symphony. How has it been this week with these musicians on stage?
I mean, it's the Philadelphia Orchestra. It's the most amazing orchestra in the world. You know, I think every time you have a different orchestra and also a different conductor, it changes the interpretation and the dynamic and the chemistry so drastically that the partnership that you have, you know, especially with your conductor, is so vital. And I mean, Maestro, you know, is incredible. You know, I've actually played with him a few times before. The last time was in Houston, and we did the Barber Concerto together, and, you know, we clicked immediately, and he's a very dynamic, very exciting conductor. So it's been really wonderful working with him because, you know, just from my history of working with the conductors throughout my career, I mean, I started in Philadelphia with Maestro Moti, but a huge majority of my career really has been the grand older generation of maestros with a lot of gravitas and quite older than I am, frankly, you know, like Maestro Mazur and Maestro Savalich and, you know, the greats, the really legendary greats. And to have grown up with them and to have considered them my musical godfathers, and then now to be, you know, in a completely different sort of world where you have hot young conductors, you know, who are so exciting. It's really wonderful.
When you play with a different orchestra, an orchestra with a certain strengths or certain colors, does that change your interpretation?
It really does, because everything that you do on stage, really, it's about give and take, and it's about accepting a phrase and giving a phrase and the links in between phrases when you know, especially when you have anything in unison or in canon, you know, with the strings or the winds or the brass, and everything is give and take. So what either your previous partner gives you and how you give it back to them when a phrase turns, I mean, it all, you know, is all interlinked. And, you know, the phrasing and the dynamic and the way that you turn a phrase, it really, everything is just, it's like one really long string from beginning to end. And the fact that we usually only have 2 rehearsals, you know, with every orchestra, you know, that you go to, you know, isn't a lot of time, but it means that you need to be on your toes and really get to know each other very quickly, you know, when you're working with a new group. And, you know, with the Philadelphia Orchestra, I mean, this is family. So it's fantastic. Even if we haven't seen each other for a year, I think the last time I saw them was in Saratoga when we did the Barber Concerto together. So, you know, I see them regularly, but it's wonderful. It's like sinking into a conversation with your best friend. You know, you may not see each other all the time, but the next time you do see each other, you just start talking and catching up, and it's as if no time has passed at all. So it's fantastic.
So we're about to hear the Dvorak Violin Concerto. What are there any particular parts that you love that we should listen for especially?
I love the third movement. The third movement it's a complete dance from beginning to end. I'm up there on stage and I know I need to be playing, but you just want to start dancing because it's so much fun to play. I mean, there's a lot going on in the violin and it's very, very technical, but at the same time, he gives it such a light sort of dance-like feel that you just want to kick up your heels. And the first moment is so dramatic and so powerful, and it's one of those really dramatic pieces where you play not just from your heart, but he asks you to sort of reach into your stomach and play from your guts because he wants that sort of growling, really sort of rough, almost folksy sort of sound from the violin. And it's a really beautiful, beautiful concerto, which is quite interesting in a way because the first, second, and third movements are all connected. There's no break, so he doesn't actually give the violinist like a chance ever to breathe. So it is a bit of a workout, but it's a cool piece. I'm so happy to be playing it.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.